SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, giving Craig Mish the afternoon off. We have lots of news going on. Afternoon baseball is underway. The Yankees, Red Sox, and Oakland Athletics are all tied in the AL wildcard standings, the Toronto Blue Jays trailing them. David Coley says that Deshaun Watson is not injured right now, despite not playing in the preseason, and does what the team is asking of him. The Sacramento Kings have won the Summer League. Very good for them. I'm so glad that they were able to get a trophy. Lewis King was named MVP of the Summer League. And Leafs forward Austin Matthews has wrist surgery. Opening night for the NHL is on October 13th. And I'm actually very curious about this, George, because Austin Matthews, that's a name I do know, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I wouldn't say they are always the best team, but they are one of the most interesting teams. The Toronto Maple Leafs fans feel very strongly. They have a very strong Twitter presence. So how big of a deal is this, and are we expecting him to be back for opening night?
All right, it's a big deal. All right, any kind of wrist injury, just like for a baseball player, a wrist injury, it's big for a hockey player because you used your wrist, a wrist shot. You know, so it's not good. But as far as Matthews, the wrist bothered him last year. He missed some games because of it. Now, he ended up having a fantastic season. Was certainly in the MVP conversation here. And, you know, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. So assuming they're telling us the truth, you just said it, October 13th is when the season starts. That's about 7 weeks away. You know, and he had the surgery last week. So once again, he should be good. He might miss some of camp, which is no big deal. He can still skate, so his legs theoretically should still be in shape. He's not going to forget how to shoot. I think he'll be fine. The Toronto Maple Leafs themselves, if you want to see a hockey team that's run, that literally is run like a fantasy team, that's your Maple Leafs. They'll score goals for you up the wazoo. Matthews, Tavares, Marner, they can score with anybody. But they don't play defense all that much. Their goaltending is iffy at best here. They're still trying to search for that. That's why they don't win in the playoffs. They're a great regular season game. They're fun for fantasy. And they're fun for betting, too. You bet your overs. It's always over 6.5, and generally you're going to get there. Because Toronto might score 4 by themselves. They're going to get up 2 or 3 every game. And that's before we talk about the empty net here. So I think they're betting goodness. I think they're fantasy goodness. But they're probably not NHL playoff goodness. They might get in, but they're always a quick out there. Sorry, Maple Leafs. It's going to be another trying year for you. I don't think they won a cup in somewhere in the 60s.
Yeah, and I actually want to zoom out a little bit here and talk about the baseball race, because we don't have a ton of baseball sitting ready for us on the rest of the agenda for the show. So I want to look at the odds for the AL East on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So for winner of the AL East, the Tampa Bay Rays are now -210 favorites. The New York Yankees are +440. The Boston Red Sox are +460. And the Toronto Blue Jays are +2200. I got to say, George, your New York Yankees are looking like decent odds there at +440. Because let me tell you what's going on with the Rays right now. Nelson Cruz is not hitting quite as good as they thought he would. Now, he did absolutely hammer one off John Means last night. I mean, just a total no-doubter. But they are, you know, they're relying on some younger guys. They're relying on Wander Franco, 20 years old. They're trying to figure out how good Randy Arozarena really is. They're pitching. I mean, you know, we're used to the Tampa Bay Rays having great starting pitching, but this is their rotation right now. Ryan Yarbrough, not good. Shane McClanahan goes 4 innings every single game. Michael Wacha, dust. I mean, just complete dust. Luis Patino, 21 years old. They acquired him in the Snell trade. He's got a lot of ceiling, but he also hasn't been great. Josh Fleming, they're using him as like their long reliever guy when they have an opener. He's been fine. Drew Rasmussen, I mean, I can't even give you an opinion on Drew Rasmussen. What happened, George, to the Tampa Bay Rays pitching? We're so used to them having dominant pitching. What happened?
Well, you listen, you trade Snell, you lose Glasnow. I mean, that's going to hurt a little bit. I think Patino's going to be a star. That's who they got in the Snell deal. But going to take time. He's not going to do it immediately. You look at that rotation. Yarbrough is coming back today. He activated the COVID-19 list. I believe he's going to follow the opener. That's how they said they're going to go about this. I mean, I'm with you. I've been waiting for the Rays sort of to come back to the pack a little bit. You know, they strike out a ton, but they hit a lot of home runs. Who would have thought to say that about the Rays? But they also play the game right. And their bullpen's top-notch. So they just need to stay close, and they seem to win those games late, but they don't lose games. You have to beat them. I think there's a difference there. They're not going to beat themselves. They're going to force you to beat them, and a lot of teams can't do that. You know, they're going to make mistakes. Look at the Yankees. All season long, they made a ton of mistakes. It's why they are where they are. So to catch the Rays, I mean, I'm just doing a little quick look at their schedule here. I mean, Baltimore, they got the White Sox, Philadelphia, then Baltimore again. Boston, they play Minnesota yet. They play Detroit again. Detroit, they got to play six games against Detroit. Miami, I don't see it happening. I just don't see it. We're not going to make up that amount of games. I want it to happen, obviously. But I think Tampa Bay's going to hold on and win this division. I do. The Yankees, if they play – I mean, I'm losing my nails here, probably my hair also, because of all these one- and two-run games they play. And every time, the closer has to make it interesting, right? Loaisiga loads the bases in game one yesterday with nobody out. Thanks. I really needed that. Every game, Chad Green's got to put guys on, or it's Britton who can't get anybody out. I mean, I can't believe I can't wait till Chapman comes back.
Yeah, they're definitely waiting on the artillery there. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and go into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we are finishing out our quarterback passing yards props. See you guys in a few moments with these quarterback passing props on the other side of break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. This is, of course, being broadcast on Sports Grid. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, and we are going to wrap up our segment that we've been doing. I've been doing these with Craig Mish, where we go through and we take the over-under on every quarterback's passing yardage prop. All of these are listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook at minus 112. So that means if you want the over or the under, you bet $112, you get $100 back if you are correct. If you're wrong, you don't get any money back. And FanDuel, very smart, I think. If I was running a sports book, I would do it this way, where they would run every prop with a half yard tacked on at the end so you don't have any pushes. We have only three teams left to get through here. George, we have the Washington football team, the Miami Dolphins, and the New York Jets. So some of our Eastern starboard teams. And we're going to go ahead and start off with Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Washington football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, is his total right now is 3,900.5 yards, over under both sides, minus 112, over or under for the veteran quarterback in Washington, D.C., George.
All right, now the first thing I little do there is the little calculations on the phone here, right? That's 229 yards a game, assuming he plays all 17 games. Boy, you're not asking for much there. Not asking for much at all, right? That just should be easily doable here. But one thing I'm getting very worried about as far as any future over bet when I'm putting money on the line now is COVID, all right? We're seeing it in baseball. players are going out every day. Oh, this guy's on the COVID list. This guy's on the COVID list. Specifically in the up north, northeast, it's going to, I think, COVID, and once the weather gets cold, people go indoors, you're going to have more COVID problems. I think it's going to affect football as well. Doesn't matter if you're vaccinated. Vaccinated just means, and I'm vaccinated, it just means that you won't get hit hard with it, right? You still certainly still get it, could still be sick, still going to get quarantined, you know? But so this is worrying me about my over bets here. I'm not going to have too many future overs here because I'm going to be very careful about this. Very careful about putting my money on this. That being said, I like this. I do like it. I think with the Washington football team, listen, they're not going to have an offense like the Buccaneers, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, or anything like that. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is a capable quarterback. His knock has really always been, there's going to be a game or two where he's throwing the ball to the wrong color jersey. And he takes chances where maybe he shouldn't take, that he doesn't need to take. I mean, I do wonder somewhat, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, could they try and rein him in a little bit? Because that defense, I think, is very good. I think it's one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I do wonder if they're, Ryan, let's not do that. We don't need to throw the ball deep all the time. We don't need to do this. Play it more safe. But I'm going to take the over here. I like it. You're just not asking for much. 230 yards. It's not asking for much, especially in today's game here. And I love McLaurin.
Yeah, I actually would be leaning on the under here. I have him projected right up against this anyway. But then you factor in, well, he might get hurt, right? Guy, I think he's 38 years old, so it's not like he is a spring chicken these days. Then you factor in maybe a game or two missed by, COVID testing, the health and safety protocols. And, I think probably, I know for a fact, the Washington football team is one of the teams with the lowest vaccination rates. And we know that because head coach Ron Rivera has said, I can't seem to get anything through to these knuckleheads. I can't explain to them how important this is. So he and Mike Zimmer are two of the coaches that have who have said, like, look, I'm bummed out by this. So I have the under here. And by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think it is true that he has been benched every season of his career other than that one Jets year. Like, I literally think it's true that he has been benched for another quarterback more times than he has actually finished out the season. So I have the under here. One that I feel more optimistic about is we have Tua there for the Miami Dolphins, and his yardage total, I think, is fairly low. The FanDuel Sportsbook has him projected for 3,899.5 passing yards, minus 112 on both sides. I think this one looks a little bit low. What side of this are you on, George?
Funny, you and I are on different opposite sides here. I'm probably going more the under here because I don't know if he's going to make that big jump. I like the weapons he has, but we're worried about the offensive line, right? Are they going to give enough protection? I think they realize their defense is pretty good. Pretty good. They don't need him, to throw the ball up and down the field, take too many chances here. No, you got injury worries here. We can see this with every quarterback. Injuries worry, COVID. It's going to come up here. I probably lean more towards the under here. I have him on one of my fantasy teams, and he's my quarterback 2 or 3. I don't need him to start, but I drafted him in a dynasty league, so I want him to play well. I just don't know if this is going to be the year. I think offensively this team is still a year away. I think they'll be better than last year, but they're still a year away. I think they're going to rely more on their defense, more on whatever they're calling this running game here, rather than putting it all into his hands. I lean more towards the under here.
Yeah, so my thing is, I think they have done a lot to add skill position players around him. If we look historically at like Deshaun Watson's on and off splits when Will Fuller's on the field versus when Will Fuller's off the field, he's been very helpful. They spent the first round pick on Jalen Waddle. Now, as we talked about earlier in the show, I am starting to be concerned about the offensive line. You know, anytime you are having to trade for an offensive lineman who is going to be cut by another team, probably not that great, but I find myself to be pretty bullish on Tua, so I have the over here. And actually, on sportsgrid.com, if you go over to the NFL tab and then you click on the fantasy tab, you can see all my projections for these players, and I actually have Tua projected for just a shade under 4,300 yards. Now, I'm not baking in any injury risk. I'm not baking in any missed games for COVID, and that definitely a lot of that is because I have Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller projected as very efficient players in this offense as well. But again, I think we need to make this point, and I've been making this to Craig. What you said to start the top of the hour is totally true. Unders are just safer bets when you're talking about season-long NFL props, right? Guys get injured. Guys get on the COVID list. I mean, what if Tua gets benched for Jacoby Brissett for a game or two? You never know. So unders are generally safer. Our final guy here, another guy that I find to be pretty fascinating, Zach Wilson of the New York Jets is coming in with a prop that I can't decide which side I want to be on, so I'm hoping you'll help me figure this out. The FanDuel Sportsbook has him listed for 3,850 and a half passing yards, minus 112 on both sides on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want to go over on the new Jets quarterback, or do we want to go under on the new Jets quarterback?
Boy, bad team, right? This is they're an under win total. I'll tell you that. I had them as under on their win total here, along with the Patriots, by the way. Not a big fan of them either. 227 yards a game, pretty much. So once again, we're not asking much. They have upgraded some weapons here, but this is still a work in progress. I mean, they're still a work in progress here. I guess the good news is, well, he's not going to get replaced by anybody. Not for performance, right? This is, I mean, Mike White, James Morgan, Josh Johnson? Probably not. He'd have to be awful. I mean, God, awful to be replaced by one of those guys. So it's Zach Wilson, a bust here. He's going to play. Your running game, unless Mike Carter is really, really good, it's average at best. Your wide receivers, I'm curious to see what Elijah Moore can do when healthy. Denzel Mims has been up and down the depth chart there, whatever's going on with him. Corey Davis, Crowder, I mean, could do some damage. I even like Keelan Cole a little bit. Tight end, well, it's another work in progress there. Not seeing that big play guy here. Once again, I lean towards the under. It's not all on Zach. I think it's also the team itself. They're a work in progress. They're a couple of years away. You're not going to fix everything in one offseason. For the Jets, it's a big win for the Jets this year if Wilson is indeed their franchise quarterback, which I think he probably is, although I think Justin Fields might end up being the better choice there. But that being said, you took Wilson. It is what it is. Under for me.
Yeah, so I think probably the safe bet here is the under. I have Zach Wilson projected for 3,815 yards. That would leave him under here by a little bit. You know, one of the things, I guess we have not talked about that yet in this segment, but is what happens if the Jets have four wins? It's week 18. Zach Wilson is kind of banged up. It's been a long season. He's sitting at 3,700 passing yards. What is even the team's inclination? Why would they even start him in that game? So I think definitely, and that also I think could be true with Fitzpatrick as well, as these teams might just be non-competitive when it comes to that portion of the season, and they might just end up sitting a game. Everyone, we're going to go ahead and run into another break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. When we return, we are going to look at a couple of the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year markets. Stay tuned for more betting analysis here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined today by George Kurtz. Before we get into our discussion of some of the NFL awards markets for the 2021 season, I need to remind everyone to please follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. You're going to get all the latest updates, breaking news, and important line changes. You'll be able to stay on the grid all day long, even when you're not parked in front of your television. There's nothing like being informed with all the odds, analysis, and best bets all day long. You're going to get highlights from this show. You're going to get highlights from Scott Farrell, Ariel Epstein, and all of the other great talent that we have on this network 24/7. And you can stay plugged in with us on social media at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. As we get a little bit closer to the season, we have seen some real movement in the futures market for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I guess that the movement was pretty predictable. You know, for a while, Trevor Lawrence was a huge favorite to win offensive NFL rookie of the year. And then everyone kind of got a glance at Justin Fields. Everyone kind of got a look at Trey Lance. Everyone kind of got a look at Najee Harris, and they said, "Ah, well, maybe Trevor Lawrence shouldn't be plus 200 to win this award. You know, why is Trevor Lawrence that much better than the rest of the field?" So right now, as it stands, Trevor Lawrence is plus 300 to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Justin Fields is plus 500. Trey Lance is plus 600. Najee Harris and Zach Wilson are both plus 850. How do you view the top of this market right now?
Well, it's the NFL. You're always looking at the quarterbacks for any kind of award, right? It's a quarterback-driven league. It's where all the votes go to for everything. No matter what award you want to put, Rookie of the Year, you want to put MVP, you want to put Comeback Player, it's generally going to be the quarterback. Now, the only way a quarterback loses is if they all are terrible. There are five first-round quarterbacks. It's going to be one of these guys. You can eliminate the guys that we know may not start right away, so maybe that takes Lance out of the question. You know, whether he should start or not, hey, that's different. If Nagy doesn't start Fields, by the way, he needs to be drug tested immediately and probably fired. All right, if you go with Andy Dalton over Fields. Fields looks like, he was good. He wasn't great. Right? He took some time to throw the football. I think he was out almost 3.5 to 4 seconds before he was releasing the football. That's not going to work in the regular season. You'll get killed. But he looked good. And we know what Dalton can do. All right, he's not leading anywhere. All right, Fields should play. So I kind of like Fields here because I think once again, Nagy has to realize you're going to get fired if you go with Dalton. You're going to finish 6-11. It's done. Play Fields, add some excitement, see what happens. You may not win many more games than 6 anyway, but at least you get your future started there, and you're probably fired either way here. I would give Lawrence second chance there. Another guy, the offensive line's not very good. Defense not very good. He's going to have some issues. I like his talent around him there, but it's not quite there yet. Give me, as I said, I'm going Fields 1, Lawrence 2. I don't think Zach Wilson's in this conversation. Najee Harris, listen, I love the talent here. But for a running back, unless you're going to have a huge year, he's going to at least 1,500, probably more than that total yards. I don't see it happening. Kyle Pitts is everyone's darling. I get it. But the history of tight ends, first-year tight ends in the NFL, tells us they're not going to have big numbers. It's a hard position to learn here. Now, I'm not saying Pitts can't do it. I'm saying it's going to be more difficult. He has to learn not only everything in the pass route tree when he's the hot guy, but he's got to be a good blocker too for the run game and to protect the quarterback. He's not going to run every pass route, 95% of them, but not every one here. So I don't think Pitts is really in this conversation. Fields 1, Lawrence 2 for me.
Yeah, and you know, to give everyone else an idea, these are the people who have won Offensive Rookie of the Year over the last decade. Justin Herbert, quarterback. Kyler Murray, quarterback. 2018, slightly different, right? Saquon Barkley, that was not a particularly good year for rookie quarterbacks. The year before that, Alvin Kamara, again, 2017, not a particularly good year for rookie quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, the year before that. Todd Gurley, the year before that. Odell Beckham, Eddie Lacy, Robert Griffin, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford. So about 60% have been quarterbacks. And I would say, look, you know, I like Najee Harris. I like Devonta Smith. I like these guys. But I think probably the right odds here in this market are to bet Lance, Fields, and Wilson. I literally think you can bet all three of those guys and feel that you're plus EV. Because these next five guys, George, Mac Jones at 10-1, Kyle Pitts at 11-1, Devonta Smith at 20-1, Javonte Williams at 21, and Ja'Marr Chase at 20-1. I don't think any of those guys can win. I literally do not think there is any path to those five guys winning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year if the four quarterbacks that we just talked about stay healthy. And like, I think Fields or Lance can win, you know, assuming the Bears or the 49ers make the playoffs, even with only like 12 games started.
I would be floored if it's not a quarterback winning this award. Absolutely floored. There's too many of them. Too many of them. Now, you said 60-40 anyway when the numbers you went over here. And you actually said it in your little speech there. A lot of those years, it wasn't a quarterback year. It wasn't a quarterback draft. This year, it is. I would be absolutely shocked. There's no way I'd bet on anybody else other than a quarterback. I think they're bringing it home. There are some better values on the guys I named. You know, absolutely, you'll get better payoff if they come in here. I don't think Zach Wilson can do it. I don't think Mac Jones can do it. Has nothing against those guys. But Mac Jones, the weapons aren't there. Nelson Aguilar is your wide receiver 1. Good luck. You have nothing special in the run game there. Your tight ends. I mean, I like Henry. I like Smith, but there's no Gronk there. There's no Angel Hernandez there. You know, good luck. Certainly no Kelce, Kittle, Waller there. Mark Andrews, anybody else, Hawkinson, not even that. So, no, I don't see Mac. Even if Mac Jones starts from day one, I don't think he can win it either here. I said, I like Fields a lot. He's the guy I'm most interested in seeing. I want him to play there, mainly because I just know Dalton can't do it. I don't want to be bored with Dalton. You know, I don't want to be bored with Dalton. Cam Newton, I've seen enough of him too. But Lawrence has a good shot as well. But I just wonder if that offensive line is going to be his undoing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there is a big chance. I mean, my wager on this, I think I'm just going to bet Justin Fields. I don't know if I'd actually bet the other guys, but I think there is a really strong chance that Justin Fields wins this award. And there's a good chance that Lance wins it. I mean, one of the things I would be curious to see is what happens if the 49ers are good as a team. Like, let's say the 49ers out of the Jaguars, the Bears, and the Jets, the 49ers are the team that makes the playoffs, but Trey Lance doesn't play that well himself. Like, the 49ers are the second wild card in the NFC, but Trey Lance has more interceptions than touchdowns, not really great running the ball, because I think the 49ers have the defense to do that, and I think they have the running team to do that. So I would find that scenario to be pretty interesting. Like, the Bears miss the playoffs, but Justin Fields has a much better season. I mean, there's a lot of interesting permutations there. We're going to move to another market now, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year market. Of course, this was the Alex Smith market last year. You know, everyone said, look, if Alex Smith plays one game, if he gets in for one snap, he's going to win NFL Comeback Player of the Year. I think this year it's a little different, and we have some interesting names here. We have Dak Prescott, clear favorite in this market at 2-1. Saquon Barkley coming back from the ACL tear, 7-1. Joe Burrow coming back from an ACL tear at 7-1. Christian McCaffrey coming back from, honestly, I don't remember. Now that I'm sitting here, I don't remember what his injury was. I don't remember if it was lower body. Don't remember if he broke his hand. Don't remember what it was. And then we have Carson Wentz coming back from sucking. I think that was the clinical diagnosis for what happened to Carson Wentz last year. I believe he was diagnosed with sucking at the quarterback position. So pretty interesting market here. I mean, Dak, the clear favorite. Do you have any thoughts on plus EV wagers here?
Okay, this is all about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I think it would be a huge upset if he doesn't win this award. It would have to be he's terrible. You think about it. A, it's the Cowboys. All right, whether you want to call them America's team or what, they're a popular team, blah, blah, blah. Everybody watches them, blah, 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 blah. Either you love them or you hate them. All right? Dak Prescott had the gruesome injury last year, right? The compound fracture of the ankle here. They're going to score a million points. They might give up 1,000,001, but they're going to score 1,000,000 points this year. The offense is loaded. The offensive line's healthy. Cooper, Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, tight ends are both healthy with Schultz. And the other guy's name I can't remember right now. Everything's there. Ezekiel Elliott, he literally is in the best shape of his career because he knows he can get cut after this year. The defense may not be so good. I don't think it'll be as terrible as last year. I don't think it can be as terrible as it was last year. But they're going to score 35 points a game. They just have no choice here. I don't know if Dak can play well, good against good teams. That's probably the thing I'm looking at most with Dak Prescott. Can he play well against good teams? He hasn't in the past. If he plays average against good teams, I know he'll light up the bad ones. The Cowboys win this award. Dak wins the award. He wins it. It's Cowboys. It's a runaway. Give me Dak.
Yeah, I think you got to look at Dak too, because I'm just thinking, like, what would Saquon Barkley have to do to win this award? I mean, he would have to basically turn into LaDainian Tomlinson, right? And how would Joe Burrow beat Dak Prescott? Well, one, there was like much more attention to Dak Prescott's injury when it happened. I think Burrow was able to get 10 games played. Dak was only able to play 4.5 games. I think that's a big part of it. Also, Dak's injury looked really gruesome. Burrow's injury, you know, he kind of just limped off. Like, it just looked like, oh, you know, he dinged his knee. And if you think things like that don't matter, they definitely do, right? Why did Alex Smith win that award? Well, he won that award because there was that E60 documentary. You remember that E60 documentary they had about Alex Smith? And they were showing, like, oh, you know, we thought we might have to amputate the leg and it got infected. So I think that Burrow is way overpriced because I think they'd have to make the playoffs for him to do it. And then same thing with McCaffrey. McCaffrey and Barkley both trading in this market at 7-1. I mean, look, I cover fantasy football for a living. I do this show. I do a million drafts every offseason. And I couldn't even tell you what Christian McCaffrey's injury actually was. So I think that the bet I would be making here would be Dak 100% for sure. Maybe you could talk yourself into Carson Wentz if the Colts were able to win 12 games or something like that. But I mean, come on, that's not happening. So I love Dak for this market. We are going to go ahead and run into another break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. When we return, we'll be joined by Brett Levy to play everyone's favorite game with George, fantasy or reality. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome in to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by my buddy, George Kurtz, giving Craig Mish the afternoon off. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at some of my sports cards. Craig and I talk about sports cards a lot. And I realize that on air, I've not asked George about his experience with sports cards. I'm wondering if you're in the sports cards game, George.
I'm not. I used to be when I was younger. I used to love to have cards. It's like everybody else. You know, you collect them, or maybe you put them in the spokes of your bike back then as well. You try and collect the whole team. You know, wasn't into the bubble gum back then. My God, that thing was awful. But I used to love to play cards. But maybe one of the things I regret most is back when the Yankees lost the 81 World Series. Yes, I am that old. I was watching that. The Yankees lost, and I was an upset 12-year-old. I threw my cards out because I was so mad. And I had a lot of cards. We used to play a game called Flip back then. If you're old enough, you'll remember Flip. You used to put a card up against a wall, and you and a friend would flip cards at it. And whoever knocked the card down got all the cards that were flipped. And I won a ton of cards that way. I so much wish I still had those cards. Like I said, might be the thing I regret most as far as sports related in my life.
Well, there we go. It's a sad story. I have some like that. I definitely had a gigantic box of cards when I was younger. If I went and dug them out of my parents' attic, who knows what condition they'd be in. Maybe I will. Maybe someday I'll go back and dig in there. But of course, it is time to bring in Brett Levy for everyone's favorite game here on Sports Grid. Everyone loves fantasy or reality.
All right, well, we are starting on the baseball diamond because Byron Buxton is back warming up in the outfield before games for the Minnesota Twins, and he's a free agent this offseason, so he was unbelievable in the beginning of the year, been injured a lot. George, we'll start with you for this one. Byron Buxton is the number one prize of the 2021 offseason in Major League Baseball. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Oi, I'm going to go with fantasy. I mean, how can you pay a guy mega bucks who can't stay healthy? He can't stay healthy for any amount of time. I understand he has great skills, right? A great defender. Though that's part of why he can't stay healthy. He tends to run into walls and get hurt out there diving for balls as well here. Can hit the ball, can hit the long ball. He's got speed, can steal bases. He can do everything on the field here, but I can't pay the money. If I'm an owner, or a GM for that matter, I can't pay the money it's going to take to sign this guy. Think about it. He's played 27 games this year, 39 of 60 last year, 87 of 162 in 19, 28 of 162 in 18. No, I'm going fantasy here. Only because he can't stay on the field. What's the most important ability in professional sports? Availability. He doesn't have it.
You know what? I actually, George, I could not disagree more that the best ability in sports is availability. Because guess what? I could show up every day for the Minnesota Twins, and I could be available. I could keep myself in great shape. I could be lifting weights, drinking my kale smoothies, right? Nicky Lopez, right, for the Kansas City Royals, shows up every day, worst hitter on the team. Absolutely cannot hit for a lick, but he shows up to work every single day. But what does that do for the team? The best ability is actually being really good. That's the best ability to have. And when Byron Buxton plays, he is really good. For his career, he has a 317 weighted on base, but the last three seasons, 340, 345, 489 in 110 plate appearances. He's got 33 home runs over about his last 450 plate appearances. He's stolen a bunch of bases. He has improved his walk rate, decreased his K rate. His career isolated slugging, despite a season with zero home runs back in 2018, is 206. Let me tell you this. Your New York Yankees, they should be pounding Byron Buxton's door down.
Oh God,
Sandy
no.
Cohen wants to. Yeah. Oh, Steve Cohen. If he wants to make a real impact signing for the Mets, he wants to give Francisco Lindor a buddy there at the top of the lineup. He better be trying to give Byron Buxton, you know, a six-digit contract. I mean, teams should be paying Byron Buxton a lot of money. He plays five-star defense. He's got five-star speed. He's got, we'll give him 4 stars of power. I mean, maybe over a healthy season, he hits 30 home runs, which is good. You know, it's not Giancarlo Stanton, but it's good enough. He plays a premium defensive position, by the way. You know, we talk in baseball about building through the center, catcher, second base, shortstop, center field. He plays a premium defense. It's not like we're talking about a left fielder out here who can't be counted on to chase down every lazy fly ball. So I think this is a total reality. I guess, to be fair, I don't have a full list of 2022 MLB free agents in front of me. But if I owned a Major League Baseball team, or if I was a GM, I would be saying, Buxton, I'll hand you a blank check and you fill out how much you want because I want you on my team.
Thank God you're the GM of the Yankees.
All right. Well, our next question, we're going to the football field, and Davis will lean on you for this one to start. But Kevin White, the former first-round pick of the Chicago Bears, found himself in 49ers camp for a little bit. But now he's in Saints camp, and we know the Saints have a ton of wide receiver problems. So, Davis, we'll ask you, Kevin White will make the Saints. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I want this to be true. I want this to be a reality. So he is signed. He is on the roster, and he already made it through one thing of cuts, right? So they've got their roster down to 85 now. They can't have 90. And everything, so he's only had one day of practice. And again, one day of practice, but it's all good reviews so far. Everyone, all the beat writers who were there at practice said that he did well. He had an opportunity to talk to the media actually just about 7 minutes ago. So I'm coming to you guys hot off the presses. He said, I'm going for it until they kick me out of the league. I didn't think I'd be able to live with myself if I just gave up. So I think it sounds like he's got a fresh and mature perspective. Now, Kevin White's tenure with the Chicago Bears and the Arizona Cardinals was not necessarily the greatest tenure that we ever saw. He has caught 0 NFL touchdowns. He has been targeted 48 times, only 25 receptions. He actually was technically active on the San Francisco 49ers roster last year. You know what? I'm a sucker for a good redemption story. I'm going to say reality. Kevin White is going to make good, and he is going to make the New Orleans Saints roster.
Tre'Quan Smith, Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Ty Montgomery, Chris Hogan, Tommy Lee Lewis, Kawan Baker, could be Tammy Faye Baker. Sure, why not? There's no one there. There's no one there. This might be the worst wide receiver core in the NFL. So sure, why not? He's a first-round pick in 2015. Why can't he make the team? Why not? I said, there's nobody there. It's not that he has three great ones ahead of him. Like, he's not going to get ahead of those guys. Why not? He might need to show something on special teams again. Matter of fact, all these guys might need to show something on special teams. A lot of them are going bye-bye after this. This offense is in trouble here at the Kamara. All right? I wouldn't think James Winston could start, so he needs as many pass weapons as he can possibly get here. I'll go with you here. It's not so much this, the story that's got me. It's the fact that there's nobody here. It's not like he has to beat out great players here. Chris Hogan, are you kidding me? Montgomery? Come on, these guys are well past it. Either they're well past their prime or they never even had a prime. So, yeah, give me reality. He makes the team.
All right. Well, our last one for today. Tim Tebow was unfortunately cut yesterday by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The former Met, the former Denver Bronco, the former New York Jet, the former Florida Gator player is done playing professional sports. George, we'll start with you for this one. Tim Tebow is going to be done playing professional sports. Is this a fantasy or reality?
No, I hear there's an NHL team that needs a wing, so maybe you go for try and play for the NHL. How about a power forward in the NBA? Can he play golf? Usually professional athletes are pretty good at golfing, right? Maybe a little golf. How about men's tennis? Here we can go there. I think this is reality. He's done as far as a professional sport. He's 34 years old. I guess more power to him that people keep giving him the chances. But if he wasn't Tim Tebow, the Mets never would have had him in the organization. He never had a chance at his age to make the major league team. It was all a publicity stunt. They could sell tickets. Going to the Jaguars. Does any team give him a chance to make a tight end if not for the fact that Urban Meyer, once again, knew him? Yeah, let's go bring him in there. He can start teach my program. Teach the players that. Come on. Nobody gets a chance unless he's Tim Tebow. And I don't think anybody else, most organizations aren't going to want to deal with what he brings with them. As far as all the PR, everyone wants to, what about Tim? What about Tim? That's all you got to talk about. So no one's going to want to go with that, no matter what kind of sport it is. So, yes, I think it's reality that Tebow is finally done with professional sports.
Yeah. So just to give people an idea of how absurd it is that we are still talking about Tim Tebow, the athlete, the last time he recorded a statistic, 2012 was the last time that he was active in an NFL game that counted for the standings. He was on the New York Jets. He showed up in a loss to Tennessee that year. He ran three times for 15 yards. He attempted one pass. It was incomplete. He got sacked once. He played seven snaps in that game. That was the last time that we saw Tim Tebow play. Then we saw him say, you know what? Maybe football is my sport. Maybe I will, I'll go ahead and try baseball. So then he went to play in the minor leagues for the New York Mets. Over the course of his minor league career, the highest he got in 2019, he did get to AAA. When he got to AAA, he hit 163. He struck out 98 times, not a typo, struck out 98 times to only 20 walks in 239 at-bats. The most home runs he ever hit in the minor leagues in high A ball back in 2016, he hit 8 home runs. Of course this is a reality. Tim Tebow is done playing professional sports. He just turned 34 years old. He can't play baseball. He can't play quarterback. He can't play tight end. I mean, maybe you're right, George. Maybe he's a good golfer. Maybe he is a good golfer. Maybe he will go play on the web.com or I guess. Yeah, Romo actually is a legitimately good golfer. People forget that Romo was one stroke away from legitimately qualifying for the U.S. Open. He lost a playoff a Monday qualifying event for one stroke to actually make a playoff to play in the U.S. Open. I don't think Tim Tebow is that good. So, yeah, this is a reality. Tim Tebow is done playing professional sports. I hope I never have to say his name on this show again. I mean, I probably will. I bet we are about, if I had to guess the Tim Tebow arch, I bet he's about 18 months away from becoming a coach of a college football team. His college football team will win 6 games, and then he'll get hired as, like, you know, a quality control coach for the Jaguars. And then in 5 years, Tim Tebow will be a head coach of, you know, some NFL team. Everyone, we're going to head into our last break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned for the Sports Grid 60 in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into our final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. We always end the show with a little bit of banter that we like to call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, so my little complain segment here is on these Major League Baseball teams. You want to be taken seriously, that you're going for the playoffs. I know it's the dog days of August here, but you know what? You need to take care of business. All right, you lose to a good team, that's one thing. I make fun of the Mets, but at least they're losing to the Dodgers and the Giants. Padres, you lost back-to-back games now to the Rockies, a team that's horrendous. Toronto Blue Jays, you got doubled up by the Nationals yesterday. Philadelphia Phillies, who I have money on to win the East. And I said it many times, you just need to survive until August 25th. That's all you need to survive until the 25th, and your schedule gets so much easier. You play nobody in September. Nobody. But you lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cincinnati Reds, you lost last night to the Cubs. You're losing right now to the Cubs. It's 5-1 in, I think, the fourth inning here. Come on, you want me to take you seriously here that you're going to beat some of these teams, that you're going to make some damage here, do some damage to the playoffs or make the playoffs here? You can't lose to the teams that have nothing to play for. I just want to get the season over with and go golfing at the end of the year. Play better.
Well, my complaint, I guess it's not so much a complaint, but I don't know. Has anyone been noticing the totals for the games in Coors this series? So the Padres are in Coors Field right now. It's the dog days of the summer. 97 degrees today in Denver. You know, of course, thanks to the massive corporations polluting our earth. Love to be baking inside of my own home. The totals the last two nights in Coors have been 13 and 14. Right now, there is about to be a game in Coors Field with a 14-run total. I can't decide if I love it or if I hate it, but I find it absolutely hilarious that the market is anticipating that many runs to be scored in Coors Field. I hope that Jake Arrieta brought his hard hat with him, because it's about to be raining home runs in Coors Field. Everyone, thank you very much for watching Fantasy Sports Today. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to my co-host, George. Thank you to everyone at LTN. Everyone, stay tuned and stay on the grid for the rest of your day.